You know when there's a safe deposit box as a plot device in movies or television?
Inside Man, yeah.
The way, not in all movies, but I feel like most of the time, the way it's presented is the only thing you need to get access to a safe deposit box, any safe deposit box, is the piddly little key. That's it. Like, that can't be how it works, right? It can't be that banks are like, yes, our most trusted clients have their, like, most valuable assets or their, like, deepest secrets, and we take care of them, and we don't even ask for ID, and in some cases, we don't even ask for a name. You could just show up and hand them the key, and they're like, yes, very good. Here is, like, the Pope's secret marriage certificate that he doesn't want anyone to see, but you had the key. You had the one-inch key that looks like it opens a locker at LaGuardia, so therefore you can... Like, that can't be right, can it?
Yeah, I think it is, but do you know what you have to do in movies for that to be accurate?
Punch somebody in the throat?
No, well, that does help.
Have wealth?
Yeah, you should also look wealthy. Mm. You should walk up and say, I am Lyman Zerga. I am here for
no,
my...
But there are, no, but there isn't there, like, doesn't one of the Bourne movies have, like, Franca Potente coming in and, like, a ripped-up tank top with a security deposit key?
Well, yeah, but that's the Bourne movies, which are entire... Those are fictional, unlike the documentary Fast and Furious,
listen,
which is now
I think you're, well I think
over
you're
10
looking
parts.
At this from an East Coast perspective, where on the West Coast, the thing is, you know, the guy in pajamas is the billionaire too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the point of wealth is to display that you... The point of, like, running around in your yoga pants all day is to display that you're so rich you don't need to wear work clothes.
But the yoga pants cost $9,000.
Yes.
Right, okay. Yes. All right, I'm with you.
So everything I know I learned from video games. And in video games, I do not have to show identification after finding a key. I have key. I own everything that key opens. Sometimes I might acquire the master key, and then you're all fucked.
Interesting. There is
video games.
There is one video game, and I know Spencer's been playing it, or at least has played it recently, where that's not true. And it's the Hitman series, where you can't just have a key... You have to have a disguise.
I'm sorry, it's Hitman 3, and that is Spencer's son who's been playing it.
Yeah, I mainly just watch. I have played missions.
That's a game for a 12-year-old.
It's a really good game for a 12-year-old. A very, very...
Go on.
Yes. Yeah, in the Hitman series, sometimes you have to have a stupid disguise, and you have to have, in addition to that, like... a folder. There's one time when they're like, no, you need HR records. And I'm like, oh, come on.
In Hitman?
Yeah, no, you have to go get a folder that's like, no, I've been hired. You have to show it. Or you could do what I do, which is you hit everyone and beat them to death with frying pans the minute they come in the kitchen. And you end up with a stack of like 17 dead waiters. And the other one walks in and goes, huh? And you kill that one.
And you're like, well, I got the waiter that we wanted dead plus all the other waiters.
And now I have 18 safe deposit keys. Let's see what they open.
Master assassin. Master assassin.
I have opened the safe deposit box that contains another waiter. And I will kill him.
I miss the old days when you could just have like a necklace of keys. It's just so, it just feels so like unnecessarily faux boho. It makes me, I don't know, it makes me long for simpler times when you could just have like a necklace of ears.
I've seen videos on TikTok of ornate 16th century locks that some genius who also probably invented calculus but didn't get credit for it invented as well. And these locks are beautiful and they're ornate and they take like 9 different combinations and they're fascinating to watch, especially if you kind of have OCD because you have to do it in the right order. And they're amazing. And I'm like, people are dumb. Like, do you know how quickly the king screwed up this lock combination? Like, oh, hell, Chatsworth. Get back over here. Get the lock guy. Get the dumbass who made this thing. That's why I think the idea that there's a single key that unlocks everything is really close to the truth. I think that's how most of the empowered world.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Spencer believes in the master key.
Uh-huh. And who
No, like I'm convinced that like the Tower of London just had one key. There's no...
We should be careful with our verbiage.
I will.
Starting now.
It just had one key. Like, one key. The entire Tower of London had one key.
I bet that led to some great pranks.
Did we leave Nigel in the hole? For how long? 23 years!
Do you think the Tower of London had the thing, like, the rock with the spare key, the fake rock with the spare key in it?
Oh, 1,000%. Only they had to make it out of a real rock because they didn't have fake rocks back then.
Oh, yeah. Man. on the one hand, blends in better. On the other, so heavy.
I also...
But it also prompts great arguments between guards. Like, that's anthracite, idiot.
I would just... look, two things.
Does that look like shale to you, you fucking rube?
I want to be
rube hasn't even been invented yet.
But I'm calling you that. That's how dumb you are. I had to invent a new term.
Each Tower of London had Kyles. I think this is a lesson here.
Yeah.
I want to acknowledge that Holly harkened back to a simpler time when you could have a necklace made of ears. I want to... We all heard it.
Okay, listen. It's not my fault that American mercenaries have made that, like, outre. Mm-hmm.
It might have... I'm just going to go ahead and think that maybe having a necklace full of ears was probably not, is probably frowned on in most of the world.
Do you think that's available
now,
on it?
Now,
on,
yeah. Look. Now, yeah.
Necklace.
But like a bunch of, like fucking Tiger Force ears. Went to Vietnam and, among other things, ruined having necklaces of ears for everyone.
Okay, well, when you search necklace of ears on Amazon, you...
not on Etsy. No, you got to go on Etsy.
Oh, that's a good
point.
I
want handmade ears.
Amazon does have a novelty prop, but I don't think that's what we're looking for.
Manifest Destiny, necklaces of human ears through the years. Wow. Oh, through history. Okay, all of these are bad. All of these are bad.
What ears specifically?
All these are bad, and most of them are American. To be clear, I don't support American colonialism. I just want to collect ears from people I don't like.
What about one tasteful ear?
like an ear brooch?
Yeah.
We're gonna get some emails.
Yeah. No, this should be a rivalry thing in football. Like, you should be like, hey, look, Nick lost for the first time. Jimbo gets to take the ear. Gets to just wear it. Maybe Nick gets it back next year.
That's why you can't schedule more than a home and home.
It could just be a very Midwestern, like the old bronzed ear. Like, it doesn't have to be Nick Saban's ear. You can just hand the same ear back and forth.
Yeah.
Subhead here. Okay, first of all, on this SF Gate article, necklaces of human ears through history is labeled as an opinion column. But the subhead here is three things that you don't want to be associated with at all, which is the scalping party, Iraq, and Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy, which is a terrible book.
I liked it, but I'm not a good person.
I think Illinois and Nebraska should play for Van Gogh's bronzed ear.
I just want to be clear that I don't support war crimes. I just want to take ears from people right now.
That's why I'm making it Van Gogh's bronzed ear. Okay. That's why it's okay.
Okay.
You mean you support crime ears?
I want. Yes.
You want to commit.
Yes.
You want to commit individual crimes to take ears?
Not in a theater of war started under false pretenses by an imperialist government.
Vincent Van Gogh cut off his ear because he couldn't stand listening to Illinois football on the radio.
Like, Tiger Force fucking sucked. Okay, maybe if you guys were paying a little bit more attention to tactics and a little bit less attention to, like, playing Pokemon with ears. I was going to say we would have won Vietnam, but that wouldn't have been great either. Never mind.
Yeah, never mind.
They fucking ruined this for everybody. And by this, I mean taking trophies from people I want to yell at on the internet.
Again, don't think this was cool before. This is probably frowned on.
If I walked into a bank and they were like, sorry, your safe deposit box is empty, somebody who looks nothing like you and didn't even know your name had the key, there's nothing we... Like, I would...
But that's part of the deal. You know that going in.
You should have hung on to the key.
Why?
Yeah,
it's about
personal responsibility.
Why is some other bank not like, hey, guess what? We will at least ask... We will take your picture and confirm that it's you.
All right, now you're creating a surveillance state now.
You're also giving me a business idea.
Yeah.
Banks infamous for avoiding surveillance at all costs.
Apparently, if they got lockboxes where you don't need anything but the key.
Yeah, Deutsche Bank already exists, but what I'm saying is a bank that pays you a bounty for other banks' safety deposit keys.
I do think a good prank... Listen, I think death should be treated as a prank in as many ways as possible.
Oh, mine will be.
You should definitely, listener, you should do this. Go out. This is not, we're not being paid by
safe deposit boxes. Put a can of snakes in my coffin, those little springy ones.
Mm-hmm.
Get several safe deposit boxes. Put absolute junk in them. Absolute garbage. But don't tell anybody that. And don't tell anybody you have these safe deposit boxes. Leave them to curious people in your will, like a coworker you haven't talked to in 10 years, a nephew that you weren't really close to, whatever, just so they can be like, holy shit, I got the key to the mystery safe deposit box, but I have to go to, you know, Tucson. Okay, that's fine. I'll get on a plane. I'm so excited for the, oh, look at that. It's nothing but Snickers wrappers. He left me an entire safe deposit box of old Snickers wrappers. What a dick.
You could.
And I'm laughing from hell.
You could give everyone the key to the same box in Tucson, so they all arrive.
Ooh, race.
Fight. And they have some sort of, who knows what could ensue once they
arrive
in
Tucson. And then you tell them it can only be unlocked with an ear. But whose?
ear ID.
Why would you think they call it clear at TSA?
I don't think that's why. Could that's, be, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. CL
Corporate
ear.
Liability ear.
Yeah, there we go.
The ears are the sub-basement to the soul.
Brian, right. You said we're not being paid by safe deposit box. Mm-hmm. Is that so that's just a thing? They do them all?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the name of the company.
It's like Kleenex. Mm-hmm. They just fucking squatted on it.
Also, man, I know banks, man. Like if banks,
you know banks, huh?
You're like, okay, because I've watched many movies about corporate greed.
Oh, okay.
Also,
that
I was
might
a,
be the
I was
funniest
a bank,
thing he's ever said.
I was
show.
A Bank of America customer for 12 years, so
oh,
I know.
God.
I know what
Are
it was
you
like.
Okay,
I am now.
Okay. I know I banks. Now. I've seen an ATM at a stadium before.
Yeah, I did. Okay, Mr. Banking Expert Ryan Annie, you live in Nashville. I know how the bank works there. You show up with 5 banjo strings, and they're like, would you like a house? That's how that works.
Not anymore in Nashville.
No, not anymore. Nashville's gone Atlanta.
What? They still, no, they do business in corn. I'm from there. I know. You can take kernels of corn, and you can put them right up on there, and they'll be like, hello, Mr. Ham Face Corn Pone. Here's a home.
Folks, no. You heard it here first from Tennessee native Spencer Hall.
That's
inflation's
right.
Gone up. You got to have the turkey and the straw.
Yeah, you're going to need a shitload of corn.
That's right.
You're going to need a, aircraft carrier full of corn.
Lucky for you, that's exactly what I have.
That's the Iowa, Illinois traveling trophy.
Yeah.
Man, dumping like a, dumping like a semi-truck load of loose grain on somebody would be a great prank.
Where is that old
Until
Iowa
they died.
Iowa? Where is that
died
Iowa?
Died of what?
Suffocation?
It's not water. There's air pockets.
Yeah, but then you got to fish all that corn out of their ear before you put it on your necklace.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're slippery.
That's, man, it seems like it's just struck me as a weird trophy because it seems like it's messy as hell. And if you have to make more than one cut to get it off, like, how are you even identifying what you have here? Like, ears look weird attached. Like, what a weird human trophy is all I'm saying. Why didn't you take a toe, pirates?
How are you going to keep a toe on a necklace?
You put a needle through it, same as anything else. Its bones are hollow. Thread the needle through the toe bone long ways. Do I have to do everything for you?
In this case, yes.
At least when it comes to crafts.
Holly Anderson, pirate consultant. Havana.
Is this
Saint
me just
Croix.
Hating because I wasn't here for Hobby Lobby's Robbie
also,
Hobby Hammer
also,
Robbie last week?
I want to be clear.
Thank you, Matt Pierce.
Pirate feet and the people that pirates killed feet had to smell terrible. No
way. Oh, because they totally cleaned their ears.
Compared to their feet.
I mean, sometimes they got wet. Sometimes they got wet.
Feet were probably wet more often than ears.
Water was disgusting back then. All water.
I think 90% of ears smell the same, whereas a scurvy-ridden pirate who's been at sea for 7 years probably has... The smell of those feet is probably one of the worst smells imaginable.
Yeah.
Folks, if you're visualizing at home, yes, Spencer did just turn around in his chair trying to smell his own ear.
It was worth a shot.
If you move fast enough.
If you're fast, that's the key.
Quick, catch it. Catch it. Catch it, buddy. Go on.
Yeah. to the Shutdown Foolcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Holly Anderson. Say hello.
Hello.
In alphabetical order, going Jason Kirk. Hi, Jason. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
I was so sure he would fuck up the alphabet.
Mm-mm.
I was so sure.
Nope. Ryan Nanny, how we doing, sir?
The keys don't even look differentiated. You know what I mean? Like, they all look alike.
Like, this could be a key to a child's jewelry box.
Fuck.
Obviously, you've never walked in with enough Brio and Gravitas into a bank where they didn't ask you for ID. That's what you do. I comb my beard out. I walk in a pinstripe suit with a watch chain and a butler behind me, and they never ask for ID.
I feel like combing your beard out would have the opposite effect because it's going to get bigger. Like, you're basically creating a frilled crest like a lizard.
It's an intimidation factor, okay. And it works.
If you put a pinstripe suit on, you would look like a confusing Babar cosplayer.
Or a gentleman of yore.
Or you could wear your Babar tracksuit.
Coming to seek his due from the place of deposit, Ryan. Guaranteed by gold and not the falsehoods of the federal government.
He's never going to pull this off. You know why? They would be expecting. No, I got it in one. I know what's going to fell this operation right away. Hmm. And it's the same thing that fells any freshman heavy college football team with a big road schedule to start September.
Hmm.
You're going to have to remember socks.
I was going to say shoes.
Yeah.
So we were on the same
Sorry, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I think he can pull off shoes, but I think he's going to have to find, he's going to have to make it to like close to his destination with a pair of socks.
Could I BS it like Teddy Roosevelt and say something like, the feet need to breathe. That's good for circulation.
Yeah.
You have to say it loudly.
You're just going to look a little bit eccentric is all. And if you're going for like, I am time traveler from 200 years ago. I mean, who's to say socks existed then?
That is the greatest line in the AFI film's number one movie of all time, Speed, when Dennis Hopper goes, poor people are crazy, Jack. I'm eccentric. Truer words.
We are also joined by producer Michael Server, who sometimes will chime in like the voice of God himself.
Serv, you got a haircut or is that a ponytail?
Man, I wish it was a haircut with just a sick rat tail behind it, but it is just a haircut.
You got your summer shearing? It looks good.
Yeah. I haven't cut my hair in 2 years, so I just shaved it all off.
Hell yes.
Two crimes.
We do actually have extremely important college football news.
Yeah, speaking not of poor people.
Yeah, that's right. Talk about a conference with money. That's right. The Atlantic Coastal Conference.
Really?
Very, so close.
I know, so close.
Really?
The Atlantic Coast Conference. They lost the AL because... The Atlantic Coast Conference, which used to
be... Okay, hang on. You said coastal and that reminded me of something. Okay, so...
This is scheduled news.
Hang on. Okay, what has the Atlantic Coastal Conference done?
Well, it's gotten a little less Atlantic and coastal because they have implemented a new football scheduling model.
It's pods! Just say it's pods!
It's not pods!
Half the people on this call invented this 10 years ago.
It's the 355.
It's very similar to pods.
Mm. Yeah.
It's pod-ish. But anyway, yeah. The point that I was trying to get to is that it's summer, and therefore Yacht Rock Radio is in constant rotation. I say rotation like I changed the station on my Sirius XM dial. And the main benefit of Yacht Rock Radio is it makes you appreciate the rest of the year because that guy's voice is so terrible that they put in to do the little interstitials. Mm. Like, he's supposed to be the rich kid in the camp across the lake with the Josh Charles face that you just want to punch. Not actual Josh Charles. I'm sure you're very nice. But 45 minutes never passes without you hearing the Pina Colada song. And I've been moving. And so I've been driving back and forth across Atlanta a lot, listening to Yacht Rock Radio. And that means I've heard the Pina Colada song like 6 times a day for the past month. And I'm going to take you guys through the lyrics because I've noticed something.
Okay.
Okay. You know how this begins. Because this is a song that plays in the bar. And when you listen to the lyrics, you're like, this is fucked up on a domestic and interpersonal level. But I think there's something deeper here.
Okay.
So... I was tired of my lady. You know, we've been together too long. Like, we're not recording a favorite song. This guy's reading the paper. he comes across a personal ads from a woman who asks if you like alcohol, being outdoors in inclement weather. She says if you're not into yoga, she doesn't want a man who's flexible. If you have half a brain, specifies no more.
Okay.
If you like making love at midnight in the dunes of the Cape, man, nobody actually likes fucking on sand. It's disgusting.
Especially if you're not flexible.
Take it back here. Take it back here for a second. Alcohol, inclement weather, not too bright, midnight sex on the beach. This is almost indistinguishable from the opening scene of Jaws. This woman is seeking a man to murder.
Is it the shark?
She doesn't want. Is it, she doesn't
is it
want
the shark
to be,
who has placed this personal.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What if we're killing the man as bait for Jaws?
Yeah.
And the uh-huh. purpose of the rain is to wash away not only evidence but also sand out of butt cracks.
Jason Kirk, I like where your head's at. Sand out of all your major crevices. And back to the earth from whence it came. So here, continue. Please continue with me. And, you know, Rupert Holmes even plants a little irony in here, talking about how he didn't think about his lady when he was reading the personal ads. He goes, I know that sounds kind of mean. Dude, she is plotting to murder you. You know, she writes an untraceable personal ad in the paper. And she says, you know, I want a drunk man who's not too bright and can't easily slip out of restraints mm-hmm. to meet me on a deserted beach at midnight. And he writes back, making himself the perfect target, because he says, man, by the way, just as a line, I'm into champagne. It's mm-hmm. such a beautiful personal statement. Let's all try to be more like Rupert in this one respect only. And that's why she says when he walks in the bar and she says, oh, it's you. It's going to be way too hard for her to kill this guy. They've been together long enough
she's
to fall into
it.
A
she's
rut.
Do it,
her friends and family know.
Yeah.
That she's been with this guy forever. She's going to be suspect number one in his disappearance.
I firmly believe, by the way, that she's going to do it. She can stick this out.
Okay.
Also, I'm party to Ryan's idea that the shark took out this ad.
Yes. Mm. It's the shark.
Yeah.
Or is she like the shark's apprentice? Like a magician's assistant?
Oh, the shark's
familiar. Are they in love?
Is it like some shark vampire thing where they're like, I will turn you into a shark if you serve me? Right?
She turns into a shark at midnight. Hence.
Like a Selkie, but with
shark
more teeth.
Sharkarella.
Okay.
Finderella. Yeah.
Finderella!
There we go.
That's why she
has to be on, midnight.
That's why she has to be on the beach.
Yeah. Fuck, I want to see this Nicolas Cage movie.
He's got through all this red tape.
Yeah, I'll make love to a shark. I'll do it.
Man.
So like I was saying, the ACC schedule. The ACC schedule. What excitement that we have this. Okay? There's actually two interesting pieces of conference news. The first is mildly interesting. The ACC is going to a 3-5-5 structure where they play three primary opponents annually, and then they face the other 10 teams twice during the four-year cycle, once at home, once on the road. So everybody kind of gets to play everybody, which in contrast to like the current SEC setup where, you know, I think Florida's supposed to play, you know, somebody in 12 years, right? Like if you're not a permanent SEC West rival, then we'll probably play Oklahoma when I retire, right? Which is in 2 years. So it's really not that long. But they've changed up. We're no longer Atlantic and Coastal, which is good because in eliminating the Atlantic and Coastal divisions, I can stop trying to remember who's in what.
I think
okay, that's
a
benefit because I think if we all sat here, we would realize we would admit sooner or later that none of us know who's in these divisions on the first try. I'm not sure this is worth losing. I love the ACC Coastal. The ACC Coastal has provided me with more entertainment as a division than any other individual division of college football has in my lifetime. Now, is this because every couple of years they get in a tangle where the whole division goes 4-4?
The crab
yes.
bucket. Yeah, the crab
yes,
bucket.
Yes, this
yeah.
absolutely is this. Shout out to Ralph Russo of the Associated Press, who has tracked this enthusiastically, as have we for many years. But is this really, is a world where we can't watch the Coastal go 4-4 every year. Is this what we want college football to be?
I choose to believe that instead it's all Coastal now. Like, I choose to believe it will be a whole division.
Yeah, I think Spencer
was right. Like Cape Hatteras, right, Serber?
Spencer was right when he said the whole conference is now Coastal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, erosion's going to make sure of that, my guy.
Mm-hmm. Some of you are about to be super Coastal, and maybe a few of you Atlantic, actually.
Fresh beachfront real estate.
Cape Hatteras is still going to be there, Holly.
Mm-hmm. You can still make love in those dunes.
Because of the shark?
Yeah, sorry, because the
stuck on the shark.
You're stuck on the shark. The shark.
You know, who else is stuck on the shark?
Go Gators.
Rupert. Rupert. What do you think of the three primary opponents that, like, what do you think of the distribution overall? Having not had a lot of time to absorb it, but as the most ACC person here,
Clemson got a really sweet deal. Mm-hmm. Florida State, NC State, Georgia Tech, those are their three actual rivals. Like, they tried to make one between them and Boston College, but it's not real.
Can't believe that didn't work.
Yeah. Boston College got a really good pull because all three of theirs are Big East teams, right?
Yeah.
Duke got a really good pull because they got all North Carolina. They got all the other North Carolina schools. Wake Forest got absolutely...
Server, it sounds like you're very much viewing it from the point of, like, retaining rivalries.
Yeah, like historical rivalries. That being said, Wake Forest NC State is the second longest continuously played rivalry, and that's going away. Like, that is happening this year.
Yeah.
And then that streak will end because Wake Forest got Duke, right? And that's it.
Yeah, every podcast is somebody's first podcast, so we want to inform our new listeners that this might throw you because he sounds like a normal human being, but Serber is actually a Clemson fan. So we're going to rely on him a lot today for his wisdom and expertise.
So I can actually activate him like a Manchurian candidate here, like a sleeper cell.
Hey, we could get baptized.
If I say this to Serber. Hi, I'm Dabo Swinney. Has the press corps got any questions? And he's just going to throw me a softball. He's just going to, like, you know, hey, you're looking handsome today.
Dabo, what do you think of the team this summer?
I think they're going
Coach,
to be great.
Coach, do your pores look smaller?
Coach, talk about...
talk about greatness and what it takes to achieve it.
Yeah. First, got to be with God. Got to pray. Got to go there. I can say that now. I can say that all I want, y'all. Y'all have to sit here and listen to me.
Oh, boy.
And give
it's
me a raise,
new spring for all of us. Mm-hmm.
Coach, can you lead us in a word of prayer?
This press conference.
Coach, can
stressful.
You lead us in a word of prayer for your finances?
I'd like to reference Ezekiel 7. I think that's something about burning Israel to the ground or something. I'm not sure.
That's a really good guess. Yeah. Coach, can you lead us in a prayer that they'll get rid of all this NIL business?
Mm. Yeah, please.
They'll be led to get rid of all this NIL business. Mm-hmm.
The other piece of news that I had, which...
Oh, are we done with ACC scheduling?
Oh, yeah.
God. Okay.
The other one I had is this.
Hold up. wait. Yes.
I said thank God close to Dabo.
What is the other piece of news?
So, very briefly, I would like to note that the Big 12, it's actually a two-part question on my part. One, does the Big 12 still exist? Yes. Yes, they still exist. Okay?
And it's bigger than before.
Mm-hmm. And... they have a new commissioner. And
what?
Yes, they have a new commissioner.
I'm not doing a bit. I really missed this.
Mm-hmm. This is from Brett McMurphy.
Can we get to this in a minute?
Yeah.
We can. This is
it's from Brett. It can wait.
Okay.
One thing I wanted to note about the ACC scheduling. So, like, the long time conspiracy theory among ACC fans is that the conference favors teams in and around the Tobacco Road area. Tobacco Road Mafia. It's similar to the SEC fans' assumption that Bama is good because Birmingham likes the Crimson Tide.
Birmingham
yes,
wills it so.
That is the only reason Nick Saban has owned your conference for the last 15 years.
The Titan will of Birmingham, unquestioned in all
the
things.
The power of the Vulcan statue's butt
the
cheeks.
The Pittsburgh
is
of the South.
The
undeniable
reason.
Machine that is Birmingham.
Oh, So I just want to note the new ACC schedule setup. I went back and ranked the graded these schedules based on the last 20 years of SRS ratings. I'm trying to find strength of schedule difficulty. The easiest schedule in the conference going forward, UNC,
yep,
which pulls Duke, NC State, and Virginia. Not a historical power in sight. The second easiest schedule in the conference, well, we're not traveling far because Duke gets to enjoy UNC, NC State, Wake Forest.
Delicious.
And if Wake Forest is the best program in your bunch, you got an easy schedule. Virginia Tech is next. And then again, North Carolina proximity, Wake is next. So, yeah, the NC State is right in the middle. So all of North Carolina teams are on the easier side of the setup, probably because they all get to play each other. And Duke and UNC are the two easiest. Georgia Tech has the hardest time. They have to play Clemson. Their only ACC rival is Clemson, and they have to play Clemson. That sucks. They also have to play Louisville, and like their easy team is Wake, which has been better than them for like 2 or 3 years.
Fortunately, they're well set up to weather this.
Yeah, and they get to play Georgia. So things are going really, really great.
Hey, Jason, quick question. This is on topic, I promise. Could you remind us again what, I mean, does Georgia Tech get any kind of a reprieve in the non-conference schedule this year?
This year? I haven't looked at that this year.
So this year they don't.
Interesting.
Could you read that schedule?
This year they play Western Carolina and Ole Miss at home. They go to UCF and they play Georgia as they always do. When this schedule,
these fucking idiots.
Not to mention that the opening game is at the Benz against Clemson.
Uh huh.
So they've given away that home game to a probably 80% Clemson.
Here are we talked about this before. I think that's actually a better move than getting embarrassed by Clemson fans oranging out your own stadium.
Mm. Yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
I think playing at the Benz might actually be less embarrassing than taking that home game.
Yeah. Yeah. So when this ACC schedule kicks in. In 2023, here are some of the non-conference teams Georgia Tech has signed up to. They have to return. They have to return the Ole Miss game. They have to play that one in Mississippi. The year after that, they have to play Notre Dame. Please keep in mind, Georgia is already a guaranteed in all of this. They have signed a home and home with Colorado. Then they have to finish the Notre Dame game. Is a 4-game setup. It's spread out over several years. Sandwiched in between two of those is a home and home with Alabama.
Smart.
Anyway, that's the one I thought I had remembered. Anyway,
so they're going to be like several years. There's going to be like a 4-year stretch where Georgia Tech has to play Georgia, Clemson, Louisville, and either Notre Dame or Alabama. On top of, like, the rest of the ACC, like, they'll probably have, like, a Miami or a Florida State thrown in there. Maybe Virginia Tech is, who knows? Like, yeah, they were
college football's kinkiest team, just craving pain. Dole it out, Daddy.
Anyway, Jason, please go on. I just wanted to, I wanted to highlight in particular the choice of the Alabama home and home.
I think the two main things are, like, the Tobacco Road teams have it easiest, and Georgia Tech... Stop playing Georgia. That's one thing you could do. Just
yeah, quit that.
What in the world do you have to gain from it?
Now,
like the teams that take over Bobby Dodd Stadium, Georgia is like far. Like Georgia fans have Tech season tickets just to fill up that stadium. Mm-hmm. They do not buy them from anyone. They already own them.
Yeah.
Stop playing Georgia.
To be fair,
just stop. It's bad for you. Don't do that.
To be fair, recent experience in Georgia Tech suggests that. It really doesn't matter who you schedule out of conference because you lost to the Citadel and you lost to Temple 24-2. That's a thing that happened, and you did it, Georgia Tech.
Everyone saw.
Mm-hmm. Everyone saw.
Well, not that many people saw.
Everyone can see it. Everyone has the option.
And they choose not to.
Means
that we're all actually running the option on Georgia Tech now, which is changing the channel.
They really don't like that word option. I think all honestly, I would feel bad for your Georgia Tech, but you have abandoned the flex bone, and this is what you deserve.
I agree.
True.
You defied the triple option god.
You have forgotten your roots, and the old gods have come down from the mountain home.
Mm-hmm. It took you to two Orange Bowls. Let's see how long until you're back, all right?
Has the ACC said how the Notre Dame thing reminded me of this, how their deal with Notre Dame will play into all of this?
I think it'll just be the same, I think.
Okay.
They're just a non-con for barnstorming their way around whatever part of the country this is.
I do think it would have been funny if they had just said, like, Boston College, Notre Dame's a permanent opponent now. Sorry, have fun.
I find the non-conference designation of that weirdly charming.
Yeah.
Like, nuh-uh.
Daywalker.
It's so stupidly college football.
Yeah, I find it weird. I've come around on it, and I find it weirdly adorable now.
His mother was bitten by the ACC while she was pregnant with him. And now,
no, they make, honestly, there have been medical. We have on ointments a for tide. That now.
Beneath honestly, the new moon.
Now that Brian Kelly has been replaced by a much younger and much less scandal-plagued person, I'm like, I don't really hate Notre Dame. I think this is funny.
We can change that. We'll work on that. We'll indoctrinate you.
I mean, in the 90s, I hated Notre Dame because all they talked about was Notre Dame and how good Notre Dame was. Fortunately, Notre Dame hasn't been good in a really long time, so I don't give a shit about all that ancient propaganda. Because we grew up treating Notre Dame like they're the fucking Yankees or something, but now they're just this team that plays on NBC, plays a few ACC teams, shows up in the playoff every 3 or 4 years, and we all get to enjoy them losing 35-6. They don't bother me. They don't offend me in any way. I don't like. Notre Dame is hilarious, and
they're landlords waiting to happen. You got to stay Maoist level revolutionary with this. You're like, all it takes is for me not looking for a second. I have to keep the Cultural Revolution going forever against Notre Dame.
What are they going to do?
I'm going to kick them into a river forever.
They're bad at everything.
Spencer, you used to be on the other side of this debate. Remember when, because we've had a version of this conversation before about how, you know, because they, well, at least when we started this conversation, they used to hang around longer than players. But how heavily, like, a coach's personality will imprint on a program. Mm-hmm. Like, his career arc has done what it's done since. But the only reason that we have found Texas A&M so entertaining and their fans so adorable, besides our friends at Good Bull Hunting, is Kevin Sumlin came in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, via Kevin Sumlin, we met all our friends at GBH. And now not even Jimbo can entirely shake loose our affection for the Aggies. But you used to be on the other side of this debate. And you're just not, because it's Notre Dame.
That's correct.
And you're anti-Catholic.
What the hell?
He just doesn't want another papist president. And you know what? You're hearing.
Hey, you know what? Yet. That's not a bad idea right now.
Which pope?
The pope in Kansas.
The secret pope.
There is a pope in Kansas who will accept your friend request on Facebook.
Derek
Pope. I hope that Marcus Freeman goes like 11-1, has a great season, and then takes the Bears job or something. I don't know. Like, I hope he leaves. That to me is
why
an ideal thing.
Why would you wish the Bears job on what seems to be a very nice man?
Yeah, we just said we like this guy.
Come on.
That's true. I hope you get a good professional football job.
There we go.
And then
those don't
somebody
exist.
Else, and then Notre Dame does something like hire Urban Meyer.
What? Okay, quick question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Put quality of life on the x-axis and, you know, likelihood that the job itself won't make you actually miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any NFL jobs you would want to take, regardless of whether they're open?
Like
Seattle?
Ignoring money
no.
and stuff?
No, not
yeah.
Seattle.
Yeah.
No.
Like, are there any NFL jobs that you would say, you know, I want to live there and I want to be a part of this program? Are there any teams where you could check both those boxes? I can't think of one.
I got to be honest, based on what he's done and not done there, Matt Rhule makes the Panthers job seem super chill. Like, not a lot of stress.
You don't even need a quarterback. You can just... signing guys.
Also, I think at this particular
Jimmy
moment
Clausen
in time,
might still be there. You can't be too careful.
Yeah.
At this particular moment in time, unfortunately, if you were the Texans head coach, you'd just be like, please say something. Say something.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do for going, fire me for going 1-16 with three players on the roster?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I would take the Chargers job. I can't imagine
all
the Chargers
of us have
coach
to coach
being
the Chargers
on the hot
eventually.
Seat. But yeah. who in San Diego is, they moved. See, exactly. No one cares about the Chargers. You're fine.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that.
They can barely fill up the stadium that I once stood in for like a, I forget what it was. It was like a, fucking press conference or something. It was like the, I don't remember what it was. It was like some celebrity game or something. They can't even fill up that thing. It's like the second tier soccer stadium.
That's
coach the Chargers and no one
like
will
the
know.
Legion Field of the NFL. It was trash.
Yeah.
Have none of us coached the Chargers yet? I feel like we're due just for like law of averages.
I might have in 1997, but okay. I was doing a lot of drugs. So if it's iffy.
So were the Chargers.
Can I play a mean game with you, Spencer?
I do have, yes, but I have
this
one.
This is
note.
Not the game you're thinking about, but please go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. You can play this game.
The most dangerous game.
I'm going to go through Notre Dame's schedule. And I want you to tell me which team you're going to root for in that game. Okay?
I'm ready to play this mean game. I'm ready. By the way, I'm ready to show you exactly how cutthroat I am about
okay,
this.
That's fine.
Yeah, anti-Catholic.
Notre Dame opens. Notre Dame opens.
Being anti-Catholic.
I was raised Catholic.
I know. That's the most anti-Catholic thing.
That's the number one way you become anti-Catholic.
I figure people who get divorced after 40 years, I figure you know what you're doing.
No. You hate everyone. That's the end result. If you're Catholic in the South, you hate everyone.
Until you're anti-Catholic.
Yeah.
This is how every denomination works, by the way.
Mm. Yes.
All right. Notre Dame opens the year at Ohio State. Who are you rooting for?
Oh, shit.
That is a stiff start.
Oh, that's upsetting.
But you know what? It's a shot of cod liver oil in the morning for this frontier pioneer. That's how I get through a day in the mines. I take it.
That's
going to
put
for
the
Bucks.
Poop in the cooler.
Okay,
real
all
right. Pooping right in that cooler. Yeah, I'm getting up. I'm taking all the pre-workout. I'm go Bucks all day.
Okay, I think we can get through the next four relatively.
You might die in a sweatshirt in August.
Marshall at Notre Dame.
Go Herd.
Cal at Notre Dame.
Oh, easy. Go Bears, baby.
Notre Dame at UNC.
Oh, go Heels. Let's do it.
Fuck.
Team Felder.
Notre Dame at BYU.
Felder's not rooting for UNC.
Shh. Someone has to.
Notre Dame at BYU.
That's also Notre Dame at BYU.
Oh, God.
Brother, I have good news for you.
All right. Stanford at Notre Dame.
Oh, I am standing with the West Coast elites all day. The free market will decide that Stanford is superior.
UNLV at Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Let's
again,
go.
Ryan, again, the free market will decide.
Ryan, I could make this meaner. See if he can name the current coach of all these teams.
The free market and a four-hour abduction and intimidation session in the desert will lead to a UNLV victory.
Notre Dame at Syracuse.
Syracuse, come on. Do you know they have a really good journalism program there? Yeah, go That's Syracuse.
Fine. Clemson at Notre Dame.
Oh, Cerber, baby. We are partying so hard. We're doing
this. You can't
this.
Use him as an excuse.
Yeah, no. I'm no shirt, orange overalls. I'm there.
You don't
handle
mean
Jack.
That.
I'm good.
No, they can't take our thing.
Oh, no, they do that.
Oh,
fuck them.
Notre Dame at Navy.
And go against my country? And go against the... And go against the international boat police, please. This is a cop. This is essentially a cop versus cop. And as we've already established on the full cast, the Marines go to the Naval Academy, and we are a pro Marine podcast. So I have to root for the Navy.
If you say so,
we're like an alongside Marines
appreciators.
Podcast.
We appreciate.
I think we're pro off duty Marines.
Yeah,
pro off duty Marines. Yes,
tempered fi.
No, I just mean like, you know, the Marines are on the show a lot. That doesn't necessarily mean that.
It doesn't mean just
we support Marines content.
Yes.
Boston College at Notre Dame.
You know,
Spencer, I think you could pull off Jesuit.
Yeah, I'm definitely like I think I lean Jesuitical, so yeah, I'll
you
BC.
Don't, but it is the best form of
well, like policies. Like yeah. Guy who just like thinks about space a lot. That could be a Jesuit.
Okay,
Jesuit.
Yeah.
Jesuits love space.
Last one. This is your last chance to root for Notre Dame. Notre Dame at USC.
Oh, bro, come on.
Ryan, he's too fucking stubborn. He's not going to
pull
out of this.
I know. So what's he decided to root for the Bucks?
You know, once you see what it's like in the LA, you're just going to, like, you know, you're never going back.
Why don't we I mean, what about Notre Dame surely plays Florida State soon?
Oh. I don't have to entertain that possibility.
Into the rules of this game. When does it happen next, in fact?
But if I did have to make that choice, I would hope for a Florida State victory because that is a public v. private school, and I will always root for the public school.
Oh, brother.
Class war forever.
Florida State doesn't play Notre Dame until 2024.
So you got time.
You got exactly that long to think on your sins.
You got that long to convince yourself you actually believe that.
No, I don't believe it, but I am going to say it with my mouth and the parts in my mind.
Jason, where did we leave you in your?
We're good.
Okay,
we're good.
I like that Jason derailed our nonsense with actual football content.
We have
to bring it back.
I've got one last note, by the way, here. Tobacco Road conspiracy theorist, you are 100% correct, because it has only been a matter of, like, what, 2 years? And Mac Brown is already in the walls with UNC getting the easiest
Ladies
draw.
Ladies and gentlemen,
already.
A tap dance.
I already did it. I made friends with everyone. I shook hands. I kissed babies. I said I like basketball, even though that's a goddamn lie. And I went in there and I made sure that the UNC Tar Heels got themselves the easiest draw so that we can do more winning here in Chapel Hill.
I swaddled all them babies in my puffy coat.
That's what I did. I took young babies in Range Rovers to the golf course, and I showed them the glories of ACC life.
They wanted us to play Clemson, but I told them that basketball is so important, we should have to play Duke instead.
I'm a team player.
Now everyone's going to be much more mad when I go 8-4. all right, should we play a little Where Are They Now?
Would you like to play a game?
This is kind of a version of a game we've played in the past where we try to remember which coaches are where. This is not strictly limited to coaches who have moved in the last year or 2 years. I have gone a little bit more open with it. And I'm just going to rotate according to my Zoom screen and just ask you each a question, and we'll see how you do. So, Holly.
Wait. Ryan, yeah. I'm not aware of the game because I was away when we were planning this episode. What's happening here?
All I'm going to do is ask you a question about coaches that are no longer at the place where you formerly associated them.
Oh, fuck.
And okay. The questions are all
Is it multiple
different.
Choice? I'm so bad at this.
I think
we're all going to do bad.
Yeah, okay, everybody's cool. going to do bad. Cool. So Holly, you're going to get to go first. And
fuck yeah.
Jason and Spencer, if she doesn't get it, you can try to steal it. I'm not keeping points. We're not organized for that.
This is just for ridicule. All right.
Holly?
Sir?
Central Michigan has coordinators who are both head coaches from the same program, former head coaches from the same program. What program is it?
You start me out with Central Michigan's coordinators?
Yep, we're going hard.
On the day my daughter is to be married in Stardew Valley, and you ask me about Central Michigan's coordinators?
Yep.
Fuck me sideways. I was proud enough that I know who the head coach is. Auburn.
Ooh, that's a good guess. It's Idaho.
Sure.
Central
Wait, is there a Pelini there?
No. There's a Petrino? Petrino. There's a Petrino.
Is it Petrino?
Day I stop mixing up Carl Pelini and Paul Petrino has yet to come.
Is it Paul and Rob Akey?
It is.
Rob Akey alive?
Yeah. Rob Akey's alive, and I don't know.
Look at Spencer knowing something.
Look at a picture of Rob Akey. He's looked like that for 30 years, which is it's impossible to guess his age.
All right. Jason, you're next.
Wow.
You're getting the flip version of this question.
Wow.
Joker Phillips and Ruffin McNeil are both working for the same school. Which school is it?
Oklahoma.
Incorrect. Does anybody else want to jump in here? Holly?
Are they back at Miami?
No.
That would be funny.
Nope. So, okay. Again, Ruffin
Joker. And Joker.
Ooh.
Which, first of all, amazing radio
what
show name.
What a poll. Are they at Houston?
No. Nope. Serber, do you know this one?
No, I have no idea.
NC State. They're NC State.
Wouldn't have gotten that in a million years.
What are they up to there?
Hashtag come play for the Wolfpack.
Joker is, I believe, the wide receivers coach, and I think he has either an assistant head coach or an associate head coach title to go with that. Ruffin, if memory serves, has one of those, like, special assistant to the, you know, one of those where it's like, nice. maybe I do stuff, maybe I don't, unclear. Like the Steve Spurrier job at Florida, more or less.
I wonder if Ruffin is on some kind of North Carolina State pension deal based on his previous stops.
Ooh,
in which case, congratulations to him.
That's smart.
Pension quest.
If you know ECU fans in the state of North Carolina, this is just them saying they took him from us too. Damn it!
Oh, y'all know how I feel about that particular coaching transaction.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
You got what you deserved.
All right. Spencer.
Yes.
Miami has two former SEC head coaches as their co-defensive coordinators. Who are they?
Oh, man. Yeah, this is a complete blank, so I'm going to make two educated, semi-educated guesses.
I'm gonna give you a little help here.
Please.
SEC head coach has a heavy asterisk applied to it. But both of these men have claimed that title.
So they.
So one of them's Brady Hoke.
So they coached at Sewanee. Oh.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, Tulane. Yeah,
endlessly.
I know where Brady Hoke is. Don't at me.
Yeah. You know what? I've gone completely blank right now. Who are they?
Does anybody else want to try?
What is it again?
Miami has two co-defensive coordinators. They are both former SEC head coaches with a heavy asterisk. I will tell you this. Their combined record as head coaches in the SEC is 0-2.
So interims.
Okay. Okay.
Gosh, that could be anyone.
It is an expansive list. And Brady Hoke isn't, if he didn't already have a job, Brady Hoke would not be a bad guess.
He coached too many games to be 0-2.
Yeah,
right?
I know. That was the problem. There's too many of them. Yeah.
Is it? Just got to stop that old inside trap.
Joe Kynes?
Oh, wait a second.
It's not
I'm
Joe Kynes, but that'd
becoming,
be awesome.
I'm suddenly becoming alarmed again in a Jaws sense that I don't know where Todd Grantham is right now.
It's not Todd Grantham.
I know. Because, but I'm suddenly alarmed that I can't name his job right now off the top of my head, and that means he could be at my school. You can't be too careful.
God, that'd be funny if it was Randy Shannon. It's not, but that'd be funny. Man.
It's Charlie Strong
and
Kevin Steele.
How did Kevin Steele fall down that far?
That guy's everywhere.
Yeah.
Is he still working out some kind of buyout money?
He's going to be the head coach in four weeks.
I'm not saying that Charlie doesn't deserve a better job than that, but wasn't Kevin Steele like... never mind.
I think this is
a fine job for them.
I assume that he's taking it because he's still taking money from Auburn, which is funny.
I like this setup because in this case... Charlie Strong has somebody to point to right away. Be like, it's absolutely Kevin's fault.
And Kevin will receive that pointing and somehow parlay it into like the, oh shit, South Carolina head coaching job.
Also, in the opposite of our favorite, both these cops are loose cannons. Mm-hmm. Both of these are the by the book cops. So I can just see them asking the other one constantly to surrender their badge and gun.
Well,
you're a loose cannon. No, you're a loose cannon.
Kevin Steele would put it in his safe.
There we go.
There it is. Holly.
Kids, ask your parents.
Holly, Auburn's coordinators last year were Mike Bobo and Derek Mason. Where are they now?
I'm looking around just to make sure. Mike Bobo and Derek Mason. I'm going to say Derek Mason has gone to Alabama as an analyst.
That is incorrect.
Mike Bobo is at Texas.
I know these two.
Also
I'm ready
correct.
To steal.
Spencer, okay. Go for it.
Derek Mason's at Oklahoma State.
Correct. He's the defensive
Oh, shit, I did
today.
Know that.
Yep.
And Mike Bobo is part of getting the gang back together in Georgia.
Wait. Yep. Do you know how empty my brain is? I think we actually talked about how bad we felt for like things didn't go bad enough for Derek Mason at Vanderbilt that now he has to work for Mike Gundy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can we pass a hat or something and like get him a year off in the Bahamas?
I mean,
It is entirely possible that I'm making this up, but I believe he took a pay cut to take the Oklahoma State.
No, he did, because we talked about this on the show. Yeah. I remember this.
He did.
Now.
He wanted Good. He wanted out of there that bad.
Good.
Okay. Let's see. Jason, I'm going to give you a complicated one. This is this is a multi-ball.
Oh, good, because Central Michigan's court. I'm mad at you, Ryan. We're in a
fight.
I know.
That's fair. That's fair.
We're fighting.
This is a multi-ball question. So I'm going to give you five names.
Wow.
And we're going to start working through them piece by piece. So I need you to keep these names in mind. Jim Elmora.
name always in mind. Yes, thank you.
Ted Roof.
Okay.
Holy sh! I feel old. Oh, God.
Derek Dooley.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Fedora.
Wow.
Steve Adazio.
Okay. I know this one.
Is this the USFL?
Hold on.
I know this.
Here you have presupposed my first question. All one right. of these five coaches is not in is not currently in college football. Who is it?
Fedora.
Correct. Larry Fedora is the head coach of the New Orleans Breakers in the USFL. Of the remaining four, Mora, Roof, Dooley, Adazio. One of them is not at a Power 5 school. Which one is it?
Mora.
Where is he?
UConn.
That is correct. Of the remaining three, we're down to Roof, Dooley, and Adazio.
Grim.
One of them.
Good Lord.
One of these is not in the SEC right now. Which one is it?
Oh, God.
This is a trick question.
Why?
Let's hear Holly out. This might be helpful.
What's the trick?
Because Ted Roof is at Oklahoma.
I said right now.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. I will.
All right.
Yes. Okay. All right. So.
I agree with that.
We're waiting. You have to listen. You have to whittle this down one more because I have to reveal whose precious boy has finally gone back to school.
Okay. So Holly already knows this one then. Of the remaining two, Derek Dooley and Steve Adazio, which one is an analyst at Alabama?
I'm guessing that's Dooley.
That is correct. Do you not now? Does anybody know where Steve Adazio is?
Is he unaccounted for? Is he at Fresno State? Wasn't that the game he walked off during?
Kind of. Geographically, he's kind of at Fresno State.
I was going to say, slowly tunneling under the Rockies.
I want to be clear. I don't know why I know this, but he's at
head.
But
head
didn't
first.
He catch on at A&M?
He is. He's the O-line coach at A&M.
Because that's the personality you want in the room with Jimbo. Mm-hmm.
I like that Spencer has suggested that Steve Adazio is a Goron now.
Yeah.
He is.
Bonk.
Time to get fire arrows. I love eating rocks. What's better than being dudes?
What's up, little dude? Is the thing that Gorons say.
That is.
His face would actually render beautifully in Breath of the Wild. Think about it.
Yeah.
He has. I would argue he has more of a Nintendo 64 body.
He might be an Ocarina of Time render.
That motherfucker
is.
He's a little too polygonal.
Now try to picture Steve Adazio curling into a ball and rolling around a mountain.
I do all the time, actually.
If I told
while
you,
none
if,
of his players look at him.
If you walked in on him and he was just eating a piece of metamorphic rock, you wouldn't flinch.
Whoa! You'd
say that's his lunch.
Whoa, this is hot, little guy!
Ryan,
watch me do my dance.
Diabolical.
All right, this is my last question.
Before you say that, if I was in that lifeboat of coaches that you said, I would just strangle myself. Like, if that's it, like, well, who we got? I'm like, yeah, I'm out.
I would eat myself. Gruesome crew right there.
One thing I would like to add to that, Ted Roof is one of three defensive coordinators at Oklahoma.
Well,
three defensive coordinators.
Based on the last 10 years, I think that is the right number of defensive coordinators.
Apply more defensive coordinators.
Are you counting
Brent Venables? It takes that many to
add up. That's not counting Brent Venables.
So four.
I was going to say,
I don't know if that's enough.
I was going to say, when you bring in a head coach from one side of the ball, you obviously want to shore up the other side of the ball, right, Brent?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Oklahoma out here. It's winning games like 10-6. What happened to Oklahoma?
Flash poll, four of you. Would you rather have three defensive coordinators or Mike Stoops back in the booth?
Three. I don't care who those three are. I do not care.
Three or one Mike Stoops?
I think I want Mike Stoops because then I know where to focus my anger.
I like having three defensive coordinators because this can be just a way to get your guys more money. Well, one of them is actually the defensive line coach. One of them's actually the linebackers coach.
Yeah.
I hope hope it I hope it becomes like the 2 Chainz tweet where every year it's like 5 defensive coordinators. Now it's 8 and 12. Now like several players are the defensive coordinators.
Yeah, I mean,
as well.
after Oklahoma's used to giving up like 55 points to Baylor and TCU and such, and now they got to play Alabama. Yeah, you're going to need some more defensive coordinators.
See, Bama and Georgia also think the way to do this is to just keep adding analysts. Oklahoma's figured out we're just going to go multi-coordinator.
The NCAA is like, you know, you can only have 10 coaches, right? And they're like, we don't believe you have jurisdiction out here.
We have divided the coordinator job into 100, and therefore we only have one.
That's how scholarships work in FCS. That's forward thinking, OU.
I'm just picturing the little tiny schoolboy desk they parked Mike Stoops at when they moved him upstairs. You remember? Because every time he got mad, which was all the time, he would jump up and bang his knees on it and then get madder. And now all three of them are just crammed together in this little Victorian wrought iron table and attached chair, just furiously typing on their little iPads.
In a triangular fart standoff.
Bonking into each other.
God. All right. Headphone cords tangling.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
they got themselves a veritable Politburo up on that dais. They're gonna have like 12 guys in uniforms looking down sternly as the defense parades past.
It took me a second, but following Ryan's fart triangle, I thought you said Politburo.
Politburo.
Wow. That too.
That's wow.
Salute, Commissar Tumor.
Spencer, you get the last question. Right. Which former Miami head coach is the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame? Al Golden, Randy Shannon, or Butch Davis?
Well, it ain't Butch Davis.
Butch Davis is 7,000 years old.
Well, that's another one you can't be too careful about.
But Catholics like that kind of thing.
That's how old the earth is.
We're going to steal his pinky and call it a relic.
If you had white,
Butch Davis is out here burying dinosaur bones.
Man, based on the number of relics around the country, Butch Davis must have had 30 toes.
We doubt the legitimacy of this Butch Davis relic.
Hang on, I just looked where Todd Grantham actually is.
Hold on, real quick. I don't know. Where is Todd Grantham?
It's the easiest possible guess. He is back at Alabama as an analyst.
Oh, that's cute. That's fun.
Oh, no. Also, his first name is Jeffrey.
I need to shred some documents. Feed it to the Todd.
All right, Spencer, which former Miami head coach is the defensive coordinator?
Hang on. Alabama might be the safest place for him because that's the one place in the country where you're guaranteed that he'll never call plays. Nick is maybe doing a public service here.
I'm going to go with Al Golden.
That is correct. Al Golden has triumphantly returned. Do you know where Randy Shannon is right now?
Right behind me.
He's the defensive coordinator at Florida State.
That's why I
said
Miami.
That was one of those things that like I had, in terms of knowing, I was at the second stage of brain is deleting, but still has a vague memory that this happened.
So yeah. Randy Shannon has completed the Big Three circuit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is correct.
He'll become
the provost at UCF, I believe.
Yep.
You should get an award for that, but also...
Several blood work. You need a lot of blood work if you've coached at Florida State, Florida, and Miami. You should be examined for exotic algae and parasites if you spent that much time in the state of Florida coaching football outdoors. God,
eating so much mall pizza.
That's probably like route one. If you go, what's wrong with the state of Florida? You go, they've eaten far too much mall pizza.
Hang on, you go like mall pizza, and I have to look up Dan Mullen.
There's always like regional pizza debates and so forth. New York pizza versus Chicago pizza, and on and on and on and on. Should it be like required that every state have their own definitive pizza?
Yes.
Oh, you don't know nothing about Florida style pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know what that would be.
We already know where the bottom is. Missouri pizza already exists.
What kind is that?
That's the kind where they put that like fucking plastic cheese on top, and it's like a cracker.
Yeah.
Huh. Is that the same as St. Louis, or is there like a rural Missouri town?
I don't know. Listeners, sound off in the comments.
Sound off.
Call in 704-SOL-CAST. Hail to Ra, the sun god.
Give us your recipe for Ozark's pizza, please.
There was one that was in the news this week. Did you guys see Alatuna Pizza?
What?
Oh, God.
Of Alatuna, Pennsylvania.
No.
We've got a sub-regional pizza special.
That's too specific. That's too specific. Although Pennsylvania is three states, so I guess that's fair.
Yeah.
If it's not Allentown pizza, I ain't eating it.
Like, I'm good. Like, if you said there's a Pittsburgh style of pizza, I'm like, sure. Hell yeah, brother. Yeah, it's the crust.
The crust is French fries. That's the
thing. There's no
the
tomato trend. Sauce around here. Well, the only tomato sauce we fuck with is mustard. That's not a tomato sauce. It is now.
I could order from Pizza Hut, but I'd rather the Shamokin pizza. Get it what with some of that cold coffee.
Florida pizza has to be eaten in a hotel room that you didn't plan to stay in. I think that's rule number one.
Yeah.
It's like slid under a door.
And also has to be eaten on Thanksgiving. That's the other tradition.
Indiana pizza or Ohio pizza is when they take it and they smash it cheese down, like they smash it upside down.
Upside down pizza.
All right, yeah. I'm putting Altoona pizza in the. I'm putting Altoona pizza in the chat.
You're scraping it out of the box.
I'm gonna let y'all look at this one at a time.
No, that's the way
Holy
to do it.
Holy shit! What is this?
Oh, right, that is wrong. Load. I will describe it to the listener. If you took a Detroit style square pizza, beefed up the crust even a little bit more, then took that square pizza and covered the top, instead of using mozzarella, you would use slices.
And the plastic skin is intact, you can see.
Slicic, basic ass American cheese. I mean, like a tic-tac-toe board of this ghoulish neon yellow dairy-ish substrate. Just
is it American cheese slices, or is it just like nacho cheese?
That's American. I think cheese.
That looks like American, because you can see that little plastic skin is yeah. on the individual slices.
You got to keep that intact to have true Altoona pizza.
This shit looks like if a bunch of grade schoolers went to the cafeteria people and they were like, "We can make a better pizza," and the cafeteria people are like, "Okay, prove it." And they're like, "Well, we got American cheese."
No, mm-hmm. I know exactly what this is, because I know from personal experience, this is single dad pizza. Yeah. I've seen my dad literally make this in our house when I was growing up, except that actually has a crust, which is commendable. He would take Merita white old-fashioned bread, ketchup, American cheese, and like the Hormel pepperonis, and put them in the toaster oven, and he was like, it's my pizza. I'm having a little pizza.
It's dad's pizza.
I refuse to eat these for my own honor.
Serbert, you remember how we figured out we're cousins way back?
Yeah.
This is my mother's favorite snack when she was growing up. There was some kind of like Saturday night horror movie on TV, and she would make pizza she made hers with ketchup, but the white bread pizza with little pepperonis on it, and she would watch horror movies and then wake up having terrible screaming nightmares and not know why.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I blame the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
This is a grandma slice if your grandma is Mrs. Doubtfire.
Dang.
So we've got that. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I brought the whole vibe down.
I know. God, this should be a music. It's just sad. It just makes me hurt.
Wait. There's something underneath this.
I thought it was sliced mushrooms.
It's pickles. It's got to be pickles.
That's what it looks like to me, is pickles.
It's according to the
I thought it was mushrooms sliced long ways, but pickles would be so much worse.
Oh, fuck off.
According to the article that Holly has linked us to, it's a slice of American cheese over salami and green peppers.
What in tarnation?
But they're in a pile.
This is via Twitter user Jacqueline Antonovich. The website is wearecentralpa.com, just so you can avoid that website if you want to.
I like putting the cheese on top because it keeps the salami super hot.
Okay.
Seals it in.
This pizza is apparently also referred to as Altoona Sicilian.
Yeah.
How have the Italian communities of Pennsylvania, which I understand to be robust, not beaten that description out of existence?
Oh, maybe. Well, Sicily is known for construction-based crime, so this is what you have right here.
Maybe they prepare the salami extremely authentically, and that sort of gets them a pass on that.
I hope that's true. I hope they're like, we take, this is like 20-year-aged, the nicest salami in the world, and we put it under a slice of American cheese, because fuck you, that's why!
You've invented some sort of a hot pocket, is what you've done.
I would argue this is more anti-Catholic.
It is. It's like,
than
a Hot Pocket tart.
This is more anti-Catholic.
Mount Etna is rumbling
this
right
thing versus
now.
Notre Dame.
Did you say this is more anti-Catholic or more anti-capitalism?
Yeah.
This
Mount
thing,
Etna is
this
about
thing
to
versus
go
Notre
off.
Dame. Who are you rooting
yeah,
for, Spencer?
Yeah, Altoona Pizza or Notre Dame.
Brother, slice me up. Put it on the plate.
God damn, I'm going to hold
you
to that.
I don't believe you.
Folks, you heard it.
I'm not
you
happy about.
Here.
I'm not happy about it.
Readers,
for every game Notre Dame loses this year, Spencer will eat a slice of Altoona pizza
for
live
every
on the full cast after dark.
Yeah, readers.
For
if
every
we are,
touchdown
if we are,
Notre Dame scores this season.
If we ever do a live show, anywhere outside of Pittsburgh or Philly in the state of Pennsylvania, you are invited to walk up to Spencer with one of these abominations.
I hope it's somewhere completely. I hope it's like, hey guys, we're coming to LA, and somebody's like, I'll bring the Altoona pizza to them.
I'm gonna fly it out there.
You're
in
just
a cooler, like a human heart.
You're just
on
inviting.
My lap.
You're just opening the Hellraiser box full of Pennsylvania foods that people are going to begin foisting on me. Right, like, oh, look, it's a Scrapple smoothie. You want that?
I bet a lot of them are great, and you might get lucky with several of them.
That's why yeah. Steve Adazio did so well at Temple. Oh, I love this hot. Look at this hot food you've given my Goron body.
Orox! Orox!
Is it good? No, but it's hot.
I think he did so well because he was closer to the gigantic burning town that's actually been on fire for 40 years.
Sure.
Like, what's more Goron than a town that's been on fire for 40 years because it's filled with hot rocks?
Whoa, it's hot. Wait. I'm going to go walk on it with no shoes on.
There's a town there that's been, like, the Silent Hill town is real, and it's in Pennsylvania.
What?
Ooh.
Is that what you're saying?
Oh.
Is it bad that we responded to this with excitement?
Yeah. All of us talked. This is how disinfo works, folks. All of us talked ourselves into this being real.
Yeah, this is Centralia. Centralia was the town that is now effectively a ghost town. I believe they had 5 residents as of a couple of years ago. A coal mine fire has been burning beneath the borough since 1962.
That's what you used to cook authentic Altoona pizza.
You stand outside Silent Hill with a really long wooden board, and you just keep shoveling American cheese in to appease the monsters.
Yeah, there's 5 people left in Centralia. 5. And they're all
What are
Gorons.
They waiting for?
You know what? Yeah, pizza.
For the oven timer. The
wait, waiting on shit. It's here. That's why we are.
Why would we go anywhere else?
Centralia was taken by eminent domain, but they had the creepiest thing ever happen to them. They had their zip code discontinued.
Oh,
how terrifying is
That's
it if somebody
chilling.
Says, what's your zip code? And they're like, I don't have one.
Hey, you know how the post office has that whole neither rain nor... Our city specifically, they're like, except that. That's the one that we won't fuck with, even on a nice day.
You just write burning hole in the ground and put it in an envelope,
look for
and
the
it
plume.
Will get to me.
You
yeah,
can't
look
miss
for
it.
The plume.
We stopped delivering mail there because Steve Adazio kept eating it.
Burning coal mine fire, and Steve Adazio is like, just a town being a dude.
Guys being doomed.
That's what it is.
What's better than being doomed?
I did want to mention, I was cut off. I'm going to pick up something
what?
from 48 minutes ago, I believe. Because
I'm kind of bewildered that you remember that. I'm not going to lie.
I know. Brett Yormark is the new commissioner of the Big 12.
This is the thing it was important to come back to?
Yeah, what?
I'm about to tell you why.
Okay.
All right.
Brett Yormark is replacing Bob Bowlsby as commissioner of the, yes, still alive and thriving Big 12, a.k.a. Houston and a bunch of jobbers.
Hear me out. That's got to be a low-stress job to walk into because you cannot be a more cartoonish fuck-up at it than Bob Bowlsby.
The Cincinnati disrespect. God damn.
I will disrespect Cincinnati heavily and frequently
Jane
on this
Coastin
podcast.
Jane Coastin listens to this
yes,
show,
she does.
And she's stronger than you.
That's fine.
They need to, if they want respect, they will invent their own kind of pizza. And we have seen the horrors they can wreak on other dishes, so Do your worst, that is Cincinnati. True.
I am not seeing a result for Cincinnati-style pizza.
Cincinnati. Yet.
It's waiting. It's lurking.
Action Cookbook, we call on you!
Unleash
hell,
your horrors.
From
rise from your grave!
Summon thee.
Altered yeast, my Cincinnati pizza restaurant.
Okay, here we go. But under related searches for Cincinnati pizza, the top result is Pizza Hut.
That's right.
And the third result is who sells the most pizza next to an icon of Pizza Hut.
Like, that's what you're looking for if you want pizza in Cincinnati? Like, who sells the most? Because that's probably the best.
Maybe who has the biggest stores of pizza? Maybe their instincts there are just to go Hut first.
You got to go to Chris Collinsworth's Pizza Hut.
If it's sold out of a Hut, it's got to be good.
That's the good one. The one owned by Chris Collins.
Bruce Coslett's Pizza Hut isn't that good anymore.
To be honest, it was never that good.
I don't trust a pizza unless it came from some, you know, unless it was prepared beneath a demon warding roof.
A lot of Catholics in Cincinnati.
Who I support.
Steve Adazio can't climb that roof, just keeps falling off.
It's too heavy!
He's hanging upside down, trying to get his leg around.
Just rolling off over and over and over again.
I heard there's hot stuff up there. I saw smoke. I gotta get it.
Need eat hot rock.
He's like stacking cars up and trying to climb them.
He's like a salamander.
God, that'd be such a good flex.
But the mythical salamander.
Yeah, no, like the hellbender,
yeah.
It would be a really good flex if they were like, hey, Breath of the Wild 2, this time it's in Cincinnati. Deal with it, fuckers.
Yes. Hell yes. There's nothing I want more.
So Brett Yormark's job prior to taking the job of Big 12
this, huh?
commissioner, and I will get to this come hell or high water.
Or rocks!
Or hot rocks!
Or whatever's in that river right there.
It's Altoona pizza, mostly.
Brett Yormark was the chief operating officer of Jay-Z's agency, Roc Nation. Yeah.
Rocks!
I brought it back around. I brought it back around.
Thank you, Ryan, for reeling that back onto the road.
Yeah. I like reeling it back onto the road where we discuss how a formerly employed Colorado State head coach eats rocks because he's a character from several Zelda games.
What's better than being a Rockefeller? Being a fella eating rocks?
You're telling me there's a whole nation made of rocks?